Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, after the devastating turnaround in the game last Friday night against Leeds, I have Mick McQuillan and Gary Cotter today to talk about the game, all the events surrounding it, and what the future holds, what we think the future holds for Wolves, particularly with the news that Neves is out for the next 6 weeks or so. So I hope you enjoy this week's podcast. Hey, Gary.
How are you, Tony?
I'm grand. No sign of Michael yet, so, which is unusual. You're trying to get over the shock of Neves' injury, probably.
Any word on that?
I was going to talk about, just heard today, Wolves announced that he's out till May sometime, early May. But probably looks like he's gone for the season, effectively, I'd say, you know. So.
God, he looked harmless enough, didn't it?
Yeah, it just kind of went off as if, but he's, I kind of thought in a lot of games lately, he's getting fairly battered, you know. He's gone down with a lot of injuries, you know, because he's probably getting more involved in midfield when there's only two. He seems to do what he's doing, tackling, he's being tackled. So normally when he's spraying his ball around left to right or whatever, he has a bit of time to do it, you know. So I don't know, it'll be hard to see what we'll do to solve that problem, you know.
But I mean, again, it's going to be a measure of the squad, isn't it? I mean, I know, I suppose people will point to Van Dijk in Liverpool, that one man can make a big difference, but
yeah,
it's, from our point of view, hopefully, you wouldn't want it to be making much of a difference. Like, you know, I mean, if it's a strong squad, it's a strong squad.
Yeah. But it's just the position he played. Well, I mean, Moutinho was out he missed two or three games around the Spurs game, and then Nkunku played very well away to Spurs. So I'd be assuming he'll be the guy to step in. Now that, I mean, we're like 46 points, you know, we're not under any pressure. But it's still losing Neves. We're out of talk of him, you know, going, or, you know, rumours that he could be going in the summer. That's probably kind of dampened
that down. I was talking to Paddy today. You know, he was over at the game on Friday night.
Yeah. It was Paddy today.
Paddy from Limerick.
Eh? Oh, the other Paddy. I thought you meant your Paddy Gould. I thought you were talking about, yeah.
No.
It's his birthday today.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. And he's in Ireland. He's down in Kinsale.
Is he? Yeah. No, I just saw that. I saw Facebook.
Paddy made a good point, I thought, was when we went down to 10 was when Neves would have really come into his own.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he was gone well before that, but yeah. if we went to 10 and he was on, it might have been a different story, you know.
Yeah.
Might have tied it together, I don't know, but
yeah.
Thought it was a good point.
Yeah. Just Mick, we're just talking about the news that Neves is out for probably 6-8 weeks, you know.
I suppose the good thing was it wasn't major damage.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been, the cruciate could have gone. You know, I thought when he went down and the way he was down there that he was in big trouble, you know.
Yeah. I suppose. But it's effectively, we'll probably only have a couple of games left when he does come back. So, you know, we'll have to soldier on with the squad we have, I suppose. It'll probably mean...
But it's kind of... One of the considerations I thought was, I was thinking, you know, will he... In the run out of the season, will he start to introduce someone from Moutinho? Because, like, we've got to start, you know, get it into our heads that he's not going to be around too much longer. And would he start experimenting on the basis of Moutinho replacing Moutinho?
Yeah.
But now Neves is gone. You know, what will the approach be, I wonder?
Yeah. I don't know, Mick. What would your thoughts be on the solution to Neves over the next few weeks?
I think he might bring in Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In midfield, yeah.
We've no one to touch Neves. You know what I mean? That's a fact, you know. So, and I take what Paddy was saying about if Neves were there, it could have been a little bit different because everything goes through him.
Yeah.
But we don't have, you know, I'd like to see Gomez get a run in there.
Yeah,
because I think we've seen him in at the back and what he was doing, and he has a lot of strings to his bow.
Yeah,
you know, if he does show for there, like, it's great news for next season that you have a ready-made replacement to go in there, or you can shift it about, you know?
Yeah. I suppose on the basis, like, I mean, Saiz came to us as a midfielder and went back. Cody came to us as a midfielder and he's playing at the back. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and Bruno, I think, has proven that he's intelligent enough to see players in training and you know, if he it's a bit of potential to play in one or two positions, he'd play them there, you know. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he comes up with, you know. I mean, I suppose Kundal seems to be seen more as a replacement for Moutinho than Neves. So whether he'll do a mixture, I could see maybe he'd do Kundal, Dendonker and Moutinho, maybe just play the three of them the next game and see how it works, you know.
He could do that, but Tony, the only thing I see against that is that you have two very small fellas in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it could work out, because I like the young fella Kundal, you know. He gets it to him, he passes one touch. I said he was impressed with him. And in fairness, the Spurs, they got stuck into him. But, you know, I just have this feeling that when he needs to bounce up the midfield, because I don't care what anyone says, he made a major boo-boo on Friday.
Right. Yeah.
When the sending off happened, he didn't seem to know what to do.
Yeah.
And the ideal replacement there, he should have brought in, what do you call it, Silva. Because we need an out ball and take off, what do you call it, he's played well, what do you call him, with Dance. But we had two goals up. We didn't need to score two more. But what he actually went and done was, he played, he Francesco and Raquel, and he had they were sort of two wide forwards.
Yeah.
Leeds were piling forward from the centre defence.
Yeah.
They absolutely overrun us, what was going on. And, you know, I just couldn't see why he waited until we were 3-2 down to bring Silva on. Because we couldn't hold the ball up. It couldn't be, like, as Paddy and Thing has said there, Neves was gone.
Yeah.
So we're in trouble there. So we had to try. But what we done was, we allowed it when we left those two lads to play wide up front.
Yeah.
The Leeds fellas just piled through the middle. And it was like pushing the tide. That's what I thought about. It was like pushing the tide out.
Yeah.
He kept coming back in on us.
Yeah.
And we were under all sorts of pressure.
Yeah, I just thought, like, when, like, Jimenez was down for a hell of a long time before, probably 6 or 7 minutes, you know, he would have had plenty of time to think about it. But obviously, I don't know, he probably, with Neves gone, he was probably overthinking what he needed to do instead of just, you know.
I think what he tried to do, I think he tried to get a tour goal to kill them off. Because I'll be honest with you now, if we were in that position and down to 10 men with Nuno, we'd have still won that game. I just thought that he didn't seem to know what to do. And he was like rabbit caught in the headlights at the time.
Yeah.
We were 2-0 up and we're after giving them a roasting up to that stage.
Yeah.
And I thought he got caught, and I thought now the wrong thing to do again, Leeds, was to concede that sort of ground, because we had it up at their ground. They just came at us wave after wave in the second half.
Yeah.
And we every time the ball was there, we came back.
Yeah.
There was no way it was held up. And the two boys up front, they weren't big enough or strong enough to hold up. But why he didn't bring on Silva, it's that beggars belief.
Yeah.
And then I just thought that to rub salt into the ruins, when they got the tour goal, he brought him fucking on to defend the fucking 3-2 defeat.
Yeah.
You know?
And I suppose really, with the sending off, like, I mean, it freed up. It was like we were down to 10 men, but it effectively freed up their two centre halves to go forward.
Of course it did.
And we needed somebody up there, and certainly Podence wasn't the man, and Trincão weren't the men to have up there trying to stop. You know,
well, in fairness, Trincão probably had the best game. He was actually probably the man of the match.
Yeah.
Trincão, Francesco Trincão. He was actually, he showed what he has in his locker.
Well,
and he was unfortunate. But
yeah.
with the shot. But certainly, I just could not see why Silva wasn't in there. That's to me, it made sense to bring him in. You take the dance off, we're two up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's amazing. We played City. When we played City and we got the man sent off.
Yeah.
He got his tactics spot on there. He closed it all up.
Yeah.
And what do you call it? He waited there. He decided to have a go with him at 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
But on Friday night, he didn't seem to know what. The reason I could see it was, I was all the fucking goals went in front of me. And you could see the way they were breaking from the leads were breaking forward at us. And you could see they were pulling us apart, you know.
Yeah.
And I think,
I think Trinquel, as you said, like, Trinquel was great when he came on for Neves up until, like, the sending off, really. Like, he wasn't going to be a defensive midfielder for us. He wasn't going to chase things down. Podence had been on from the start. So at that stage, he was beginning to wilt as well. I mean, you think back, even if the ball hit the post had gone in, like, if you were training up at half time, the way things worked out, we probably would have still lost the game. But Gary, you watched the game on telly?
Yeah, I watched it on TV, yes. So I suppose you missed the atmosphere a bit of it. But I think we're missing a huge fucking point there, like, is the defence was shite. Yeah. You know, we were down to 10. And historically, if you're away from home and you're two down and the home team go down to 10, what do you expect them to do? You expect 10 men behind the ball and, you know, to grind out the 2-0 or 2-1 or whatever you can get away with. Well, I agree, we didn't do that. But there's no excuse for the defending, like.
Yeah.
Well, there is, Gardy. If you have them coming forward in droves at you, and you have two fellas lying up front, and we're down to 10 men, defence can't just won't hold out. We done it again, Villa. What do you call it? And I go back to other Nuno. How many times did we win games with 10 men? Umpteen times.
But I think
how many times have we defended?
I think that makes it was more the individual errors on the particularly the first and second goal. Jeez, we defended like schoolboys, really, you know.
I understand that, but the problem was they weren't getting a breather, Tony. Everything was coming. It was coming back. The minute it went out, it kicked up field, it came straight back in. And they're under pressure for the whole second half.
But Mick,
we needed to do was give them an outfit somewhere where they knocked that ball we could handle. Yeah.
But I mean, Mick,
it just kept coming. The seeds were all swarming all over.
Yeah, but their two goals came within 10 minutes of the sending off, you know. So, I mean, we should have been more organised. Maybe the defenders got it into their head that they didn't kind of know what Bruno was doing with the change he made, you know, with leaving things as they were. They were probably a bit confused as the way it was. But
it was obvious to what was going on in the pitch, Tony, the way fellas were looking at one another. And they didn't know what to be doing.
Yeah.
Now, I know a big no-no was, if Neves had been in the middle, he might have been able to pull the shot to a degree. But I still say, unless you have someone up there, you can knock the ball that'll hold it for a while. Again, Leeds, you are going to be in trouble. Because if you think about it, you know, they were trying to get the goal, they were leaving themselves open. And the centre forward should be the man who's brought on. Nobody else. But he left those two boys on and he played them nearly. Roy had left just inside forwards. And fucking Leeds, the forward lads were just toiling forward.
Yeah.
And Podence wasn't coming back.
No.
You know what I mean? So we're not fighting. Leeds had two extra men attacking. Yeah. So fellas didn't know where to be going. Because they never come across that before. And what was your man doing? Looking at his fucking laptop again. laptop fucking Lammy. You know, the things were never going to be there. And then, tell me why he brought fucking Silva on in injury time when we went 3-2 down. I just do not fucking fathom that.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that. Now, he's very naive at times, you know what I mean? And I agree. It's someone to defend, but the balls were going everywhere. The goalkeeper went AWOL. What was he up there?
Yeah.
You know?
Looking at it, as you say, Silva coming on when he did. I think at that stage, like, I think most of the people were leaving the ground anyway. Like, everybody could see that.
Where?
You know, they were hoping for it. Like, what was it, 65th, 66th minute when they equalised, and it looked like we might hold out for a point. But like, it was just an injury time when they scored, and I think everybody in the place would have said at that stage, "Good luck," you know.
So it was,
in one way, you'd look at it nearly an insult to Silva to be brought on when he did, like, you know, and we did. I think Donker had a couple of headers. We did have a few chances, like, but you know, they were on the break and we didn't score. And like Leeds, I was thinking of comparing them to Everton the previous week, who had nothing at all in their game, but Leeds had a lot of fight. they knew the position they were in the league, and they put everything into that game. Once, like, they were probably at half time, they were saying, let's look at the goal difference and keep the score down. And then when they were handed a present of Jimenez being sent off, they turned around and said, Jesus, hold on a sec, we might get something out of this game, and just tore into us. And you know, but like, what the sending off itself, what do you think of?
I still don't understand the logic of why when Jimenez got sent off, the 11 that were on the pitch were playing well.
Yeah.
Right? Trincao was playing well, Pedence was playing well. There was nothing to suggest you had to take one of them off for us to win the game.
But there was, Gary. Because the thing was, we already, I'll tell you why there was. We were down to 10 men, so obviously we were, again, these were numerical disadvantage. We were 2 goals up, so we didn't need going looking for more goals. We needed to close up shop like we did against City.
We dropped into midfield. Like, it was still...
Why did they bring on Silva? There's no point. Pedence was a waste of space at that stage. Because yeah. Pedence's job, main job is, he's your creator. We were 2 goals up. So you take him out, you put in a defender, a player that'll give us a bit more hold of the ball. But think again, we all know what Leeds do. Like, I think there were 3 down the Villa, you back 3 all. Like, they're done quite similar to Liverpool. They're a decent side. You know, but when they've nothing to lose, they go with you. And that's where the problems were.
Yeah.
Look, anybody with any knowledge of coaching or that, they would have closed up shop and they would have put on you think a couple of weeks ago against West Ham, the best player we had in the back, they're big fellas, was Silva.
Yeah.
These fellas are big and they will go through you. And yet he left Pedence on there. Now, I'm not saying Pedence had a very good game.
Yeah.
He did what we had to. We got the goals up.
Exactly. Why take him off?
But then you take him.
If anyone can hold up the ball, Pedence can.
Not with them fellas within on you. Because what he done with Dens was, what he done with Dens and for Francesco, he played them nearly as a left winger and a right winger, pushed up, easy to fucking mark, ball taken off them, and these were flying at us. And they were standing looking at the play development. Yeah. We our lads are overrun by 3 players. It was wave after wave.
But the one change he did make, Mick, was when he brought on Huang. Did you bring on Huang for Pedence? And I mean,
he did.
I think, again, as you were saying, like, Silva is good at keeping 2 centre-halves busy. But Huang was chasing shadows. There was one incident in the second half where the ball was knocked out and their 2 centre-halves had it. One of them headed the ball to the other one. Huang half-chased them. He headed it back 4 times, I think, they headed the ball across and back. And Huang, he was kind of just a shadow running around. He never made any effort to close him down or win the ball. And I think, as you say, I think Silva would have been probably the better option up there than Huang. You know, I don't really thought Huang had the pace to trouble them, but he didn't do anything really when he came on.
He doesn't hold the ball up. Huang doesn't hold the ball up. Like, I couldn't believe it when he brought him on. And, you know, Huang is probably a number 10 playing off of him. But if you think about it, we lost 2 fellas, what to call them, Neves, and we'd lost Jimenez, and both of them contributed very much to our defensive setup.
Yeah.
They were gone.
Yeah.
And instead of bringing someone in that could do a similar job, because Silva can do that job, he didn't bring him in.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, I just couldn't fathom what he'd done there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have had a fair better chance, and I still say, how many times when we had 1 man less, we were down to win games under Nuno. It would never have happened.
Yeah.
I just found that he didn't seem to know what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I thought he went to try and get a tall goal.
Yeah.
And they got the goal. Once they got the goal, the blood was there, you know.
Yeah. Gary, you were going to say something.
I still think the elephant in the fucking room is the defending for the goals. Aid Nouri was absolutely scandalous, I think, for the first one. And Sace was ridiculous for either was the first or the second one. You know,
but the elephant in the room was the fucking manager's decision and what he put out to try and help them out. They needed help on the sideline. They didn't get it.
Yeah.
Look, we're just going to have to disagree on that, Mick, because I don't agree with that.
I tend to agree now. If we'd conceded the goals the way we did with 10 minutes to go, Mick, I'd agree with you and say, you know, we defended well. And but I mean, I had to, I think I had to side with Gary that, I mean, to concede they got two goals in the manner we did 10 minutes after the sending off. I mean, the players just, they lost it. You know, they panicked where the ball was being kicked around. I mean, it just, I don't know what was going on in the heads. Because
why was it being kicked around, Tony? Why were they panicking?
But no, what I'm saying is, if it was 10 minutes to go.
They were panicking because the ball kept coming fucking back in.
Yeah.
And the man was still sitting over on the sideline. I would have done it. Look, I've managed to coach football fairly well for a long time. And when the things like that happen, you shut up shop. We had to go. Mm. If it had been nil all, I just understand that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Well, we were 2-0 up. And yeah, we should have defended that out. Well, and I've never seen us losing. I don't think I ever seen us lose with 10 men other than Nuno. Even when we were a goal down, we came back and won games.
But Mick, the point is that, you know, if we defended, like, shut up shop, fine. But shut up shop and hopefully keep a clean sheet until, you know, when you start getting tired the last 10 minutes and you concede. We conceded the fourth goal within, I think, 5 or 6 minutes of Jimenez gone off. We conceded the next one about 3 or 4 minutes later. I mean, the game was up with 25 minutes to go. You know, there was no shop left to shut up. We panicked in defence. We panicked in defence.
When he got sent off, the way he set up the two front men, I was sitting there and you could see there was four Leeds players coming, hammering and tongs down the line, or in on us, in on top. And you won't defend over that. There's no way. I was disgusted about what happened. And then, injury time, we bring on the fella that should have come on when Jimenez went off. No one will make me big. And I don't care how many fellas disagree with me. I know I'm tactically fucking right there. We had two goals up. We did not need more goals. No. We needed to close off the space that Leeds wanted to get into. And instead of that, we opened it up and we allowed them coming out. And fair, look, there was a silly fucking balls to the back there. But you've got to remember, for the previous 25 minutes, they were being bombarded with players coming forward, extra men.
Yeah.
Not one, not two, but three extra men.
Yeah.
It only took them 5 minutes to get a goal.
Yeah.
Huh?
It only took them 5 minutes to get a goal. Like, it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the other thing no one gives any acknowledgement to is what happened when Neves went off. Right? Neves went off. What did he do? He brought Trincao on, and presto, we get two goals.
Yeah.
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 We had 11 men, though.
And a first half performance that's possibly been the best I've seen a Wolves team for a long, long time.
Yeah. But I mean,
first half was unmeasured, unrivaled.
But we were talking.
Gary, 2 weeks ago, we had the same system. He started out. We had it against we won 4-0. We're 3-0 up after half an hour.
And we were talking about it beforehand, and I said, we were chatting about the game, how it's gone, and I said, well, the way Leeds have been playing, I said, I could see a repeat of the Watford game. And I think, like, what happened after Jimenez was sent off was a complete collapse as far as I'm concerned. But, like, that's what we were heading for. Like, with 11 players on the pitch, and what people haven't looked the first 5 minutes of the second half, just before the clash, there was a similar. We'd played two balls through, including the one where he was sent off on. Like, we were sitting back. We got the ball. The ball was being played up for Jimenez. Twice it happened where the keeper had to come out well outside the area to clear the ball. I mean, we were edging there for the third goal at that stage. And the sending off, I mean, it in this day and age, unfortunately, if you collide with a player, and particularly when he goes down injured, you're always liable to get a second yellow. But, you know, the force...
But the officials were very poor. I gave there, were very poor. And I'll be honest with you, if we had been 5 up at half-time there, no one could have complained.
Yeah.
There was some sparkling football. And you know, for a fella who has got ridiculed so much by the fans, Trincao, and I rate him very highly. Yeah. And he showed what he has in his locker there. And it's unfortunate that happened what happened with Jimenez, because... You know, I thought he still played quite well after that. But he, as you say, Tony, he hasn't got that defensive end to his game.
No.
You know what I mean? And I can understand that. But definitely, to me, we definitely should have got something out of that game, even with the 10-10. And I thought it was a simple thing: put a big man up front who knows how to hold the ball up and start afraid to get stuck in.
Yeah.
And again with Leeds, and we didn't do that, and we left them so open that it allowed them to come at us big time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was pushing out the toilet.
Yeah.
Again, what did you think of the fact that Bolly was in from the start?
Mick.
I didn't look at the previous game. He had what they call it, Kilman back in there. And yeah. I said, look, I could understand him bringing Kilman back in.
Yeah.
And I could understand him bringing Bolly back in. So that wouldn't have been a major concern of what was about to, you know. Yeah. It showed in the first half we were floating around there.
Yeah, well, I think, recently
we've been saying about changing the team, and like it was almost like it was gratuitous change for the sake of change. It was Bolly against Watford, wasn't it? And then it was
Kilman for
Everton, and then it was Bolly against Leeds. That just seems odd. Is there any reason?
I think maybe he's just getting Bolly back in. Get the last few games of the season, give him a run, see how we go. I mean, apart from the collapse, he had a great first half. He had very little to do. Maybe Bruno looks and he said, well, Watford are similar to Leeds in their approach. We'll try Bolly in. I mean, Bolly was grand. Johnny, I mean, we have to look at that side as completely different from what it was for three or four weeks ago. So you have Johnny, and I mean, Johnny scored a goal. I was going to mention, I hope Semedo was watching. He might learn how to put the ball in the net. But anyway, Mick, I don't want to go on that one.
Did he not score in his last game?
Semedo?
Yeah.
He scored in the last game last season, didn't he? But,
I'm talking about this season.
Johnny on the spot. Johnny on the penalty spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was it like, I had to fucking look twice to see who had actually put that in, because I couldn't believe it was Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't expect him to be on the penalty spot. No. But I mean, fair play was absolutely brilliant. But
that's the way the game was going,
Semedo, you wouldn't find Semedo on the penalty spot. Do you know what I mean? There's a difference there. Generally, Semedo's coming in from the right-hand side. And he scored against Sheffield United, didn't he?
He scored in a league match, the last league match, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored, I can't remember who against now.
No, we can't either.
But anyway.
But
I thought that was, and he started Dendonker.
Yeah.
Dendonker went back in beside Moutinho when Neves went off.
Neves went off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which was good. But I mean, looking ahead, the international break now, I suppose everyone will be having a rest. But Villa coming up, is the thoughts of, I know we're still 2 points behind West Ham. They don't seem to want to get anywhere away from us. But are we realistically looking at seventh, or will Villa game tell us a tale as to how we're going to cope without Neves?
I think that's going to be interesting. All right, to. As I said early on, I was kind of wondering, would he start experimenting with a replacement for Moutinho? But I presume we can be doing that now. I think we're eighth, and I think that's probably as good as we are. And I don't see us going any higher. Now, I suppose you could flirt with that. West Ham seem to be shaking a little bit. Yeah. But I think, at this stage of the season, the table probably ain't far out.
Yeah.
And eight is about right for us.
Yeah.
And we're 10 points ahead of Villa, but they have a game in hand, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we beat them, we're going to get eight anyway. And see what... Because, I mean, even the teams below us, like Southampton, Leicester are very... Southampton are gone in a slump, and Leicester, Palace are kind of up and down every week. Mick, what's your thoughts on the Villa and the rest of the season?
Well, after watching what went on at the weekend, you couldn't have much confidence in getting up any further than what they are,
No. Yeah, so I think that we'll probably leave it at that anyway, and we'll look forward to, hopefully look forward to the match against Villa and get us back on track again in some way. So, thanks a million, lads. We'll see you all over for the... Well, you won't be over for the Villa game, Gary, no?
No, I'm Espanyol.
Oh, lovely. Well, for some. We're getting all the good weather here, even, sure.
It's amazing. It's absolutely lashing rain there at the moment.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Ah, well, you'll have a good time.
The real for that will be today. And he says, you know, he says, oh, he was supposed to be in Tenerife this week. I says, yeah. Why would you even go to Tenerife? Look at the weather we have.
Yeah. Jeez, it was unreal today. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Listen, good to talk to you, lads. And
okay.
We'll see you for, well, we'll catch up at some stage over the next couple of weeks. We'll see you.
Okay, Tony. See you, mate.
All right, Tony. Talk to you. See you, Gary. Okay.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.